Diary, January 1896. January 1st to 11th, 1896. January 1st, 1896. Sunnyside, Avondale, Currumbong, New South Wales. 1895 has passed into eternity with its burden of record. A new year has opened upon us, and there are no changes we can make in the old year. How stands our record? The day has opened beautifully. My heart was drawn out in prayer to God for the pardon for our past transgressions and sins. We rendered to God an offering of thanksgiving and praise for all his blessings given us in the preservation of our lives. Our blessings have been without number, and yet how unmindful have we been. How little glory have we reflected back in praise and honor and thanksgiving. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth God. How many, upon the celebration of Christmas, had a sense of the works of their Creator? How many did not have Christ and his self-sacrificing love in their minds? They follow self-indulgence. This is the order of the day. Who will confess Christ by developing a Christ-like character? Who will continue to deny Christ before man? Christ says he will deny such before his Father in heaven. Then let us be sure to honor Christ. Sarah Belden and I went with the mail to the post office. We learned that Brother Starr was expected, and we rode to the station to get goods that had been ordered. Brother Starr and wife came. We were glad to greet them. They rode up with me to our place, Brother and Sister Rousseau, Brother and Sister Starr, Sarah Belden and I. As we came from the depot, there were men, women, and children all coming from Morissette to Currumbong. The day was hot, and mothers with babies in their arms and two or three other children surrounding them looked so weary. I thought, what is creating so great excitement? It was a horse race. We were hailed by a weary mother solicitous for her boy about 6 years old, carrying a large satchel of lunch. She wished we might take him in. I looked upon two mothers, each carrying a 10-month-old child, and two other children tired and heated. I said to one mother, "Give me your babe." To the next, "Get right in with your babe." We had the two families all in, then took them to the school building. The place where they were going was close by. Avondale, Currumbong, New South Wales. The atmosphere was very warm. Sarah Belden and I rode down with the mail to the post office. We took Brother Starr to the station. Brother Rousseau rode with us and had business to do at the mill. Brother Richardson called at our place. He stepped off the cars at Dora Creek and walked up and found our place, then took dinner with us in our dining tent. Our horses took him to station at Dora Creek. Word came that Brother Rousseau was not well, and solicited me to take the meeting, which I did. This was in the dining room, full of our people, and some not of our faith. Two windows were open, but the weather was warm and the atmosphere oppressive. I spoke about the Savior at the well of Sychar, the Samaritan woman coming to draw, Christ asking her to give him to drink. Read this history. Write it out in full. Speak it in the meetings where you assemble. Let the Spirit of God come into your hearts. We need every day to be taught of God. The Lord saw all the dangers when he called Abraham. Are you elected to become members of the Lord's family? Ministers, are you sensing your responsibilities? If you are, you will be a representative of Christ in your example, that all your associates will see that you are constantly learning and teaching the most solemn message ever given to mortals. We are to be examples after the Christ-like pattern. Never lose sight of your mission, or cease to sense your responsibilities as God's messenger. Come out from the world in speech, in action. Every truly converted soul must maintain a separate, holy character. Satan is watching to find some points which he can use to advantage. Will you give Satan his desire to make the students in our schools, by their lax familiarity, young men, middle-aged men, and women, pursue a course of action light and trifling? Will our ministers have the holy charge? Let them maintain their separate holy character as under discipline to Jesus Christ. Unless you watch and pray, you will not be guarded. Teachers, ministers, be watchful. We know that there are some who are not careful to consider. God grant you may all put on Christ's garments of holiness and purity. Sunday, January 5th, 1896. Sunday was very oppressive. The land breeze seemed hot as heat from a furnace. The hammering and sawing and painting are all going on with the closing up of the work on our cottage. We are figuring closely to save expense. We have planned a kitchen, and that gives me the dining room for my working room. Heat continues oppressive. A cool breeze is beginning to be felt. It is a sea breeze. In afternoon it clouded up, threatening rain. There was thunder and quite severe lightning, with heavy rain. Now everything will be revived, and glad to drink in the refreshing, blessed rain. The air is cool and reviving. January 7th, 1896. Tuesday morning. The heat is passing away. Avondale, Currumbong, New South Wales. Sarah McKentifer, Sister Shannon, and I rode in our platform wagon to the hotel and to the post office. We learned that Elder Starr was not going to Sydney, as he expected. He would remain over until January 9th. On our way to the post office, we received a telegram from Willie White, stating the boat was to leave Sydney for Currumbong next Friday. All directions must be given at once. May Israel was going to Newcastle to obtain supplies for family and provender for the beasts. We took her to the station, about 3 miles. We found Brother Lacey at our house when we returned. He took dinner with us, and now we see 2 men taking down one of the old forest monarchs. We fear it may not fall just as it is supposed to fall. It is a very high tree, and should have been uprooted ere this. It stands close by our wash house, and we fear may blow down upon it some day. I can do but little but watch and wait. It is of great size. But the monarch of the forest must come down. The axe, the iron wedges, the heavy mallet, and the saw are all at work in their fit places. The monarch of the forest has come down with a tremendous crash, splintering the breaking its top. The heart of the tree was rotten. The rest was nearly as hard as iron, perfectly sound. We must get bullock teams, and, after the saw and axe have divided it in sections, draw it away. It is not good for firewood, neither is it good for building purposes, but only to burn. Just received letter from W.C. White, saying to expect fruit tonight. Sarah McKentifer and I hitched up Jessie beside Coulson's colt, and we were pleased to see she was able to travel. She hurt her leg, and it was much swollen. But Brother McKee has cared for it, and bathed and fermented it, and we were glad of an opportunity to ride after Jessie. We met Brethren McCullough and Sherwood at the school. We drove to the station to meet May Israel, who had gone to trade at Newcastle. We must have provisions and provender for horses. We found fruit, picked up 7 cases in our wagon, and in the afternoon went for other boxes, 7 more, and a trunk. Brother and Sister Shannon moved Thursday. We have another beautiful morning. Slept little last night. Many things perplex my mind. Received telegram that we are to meet our family at 12 o'clock train. Oh, how much I feel my need of the grace of Jesus Christ in my heart, continually, as an ever-flowing stream. Then I can refresh and bless others.